website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day as we face the issues. As we face the issues, let me remind you, it's not based on our decisions. Our quotes, our questions are not based on philosophical rhetoric. It's not based on denominational dogma. We do not base our decisions and our position on philosophical thought, but simply on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. What does God's Word say? What does the Bible say? That's the essence. That's the bottom line. That's the answer. I've challenged people, urged people, and encouraged people for less than 100 years now to simply watch everything that's happening local, state, national, international, and globally through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us as we witness what is taking place, for example, in Russia and Ukraine and Iran and Saudi Arabia and Germany? And I could go on and on and on with the nation states and what is happening. We need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? Because God's Word gives us past, present, and future. God's Word shows us, tells us, explains to us exactly what God has done, is doing, and shall do in all of the future. I'm thankful that we have an inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And that's what we base our decisions on. That's what our questions and comments and dialogue and discussion is about. And we use current issues to bring us into the focus of what the Word of God is saying. That's what we're doing today. The issue today, listen carefully. Pete Hegseth says what? What did the Secretary of Defense say? What is it that's raised the eyebrows and the hair on fire from the socialist Marxist media and the communist left called the Democrats? What did he say that was so egregious? Some have said he needs to resign. Some have said he needs to be removed. Some have said he needs to publicly apologize. What did Pete Hegseth say? What did he say that was so egregious? He simply prayed a Christian prayer in the name of King Jesus. King Jesus. Dr. Phelps and I are going to be talking about that today. Why do we pray? Excuse me. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? What is the purpose of praying in Jesus' name? As we pray in the name of Jesus, we're going through the only source, the only person, the only one that can answer prayers. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about that today, we invite you to call after the brief monologue. Our telephone lines will be open. You can dial 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Let me remind you, it is the Word of God. Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 8:31-32, made this statement, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Then in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." That's a pretty long time, forever. But yet we have those that will reject the truth, those that will deny the truth, those that will somehow, some way, want to circumvent the truth. It goes back to the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we see taking place today. This is the reason we have those that's wanting to find some way, somehow, to persecute and prosecute Trump. In fact, legislator, last name is Crockett. And as Jesse Waters says, not to be confused with David Crockett. David Crockett. She says she's trying to get things assembled now to start the process of impeaching President Trump. What has he done? It's just simply a matter of rejecting truth, refusing to adhere to and to follow truth. And ladies and gentlemen, the sad truth is that according to an article I'm looking at, it says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. And the article begins by saying, what is truth? Then it quotes Webster's Dictionary. Truth is the body of real things. Truth is the evidence of real things, real facts, actualities, and the state of being the case, in fact, true. But yet 55% of the millennials say there's no such thing as absolute truth. They quote, and now may I quote, the millennials today say that each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. You can take a half-truth and it's a whole lie. And yet multitudes today want to do that. It was the former U.S. Senator Joan DeMint that warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Here's in part what DeMint said. Truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. So you look at the bottom line and the filtration of what is said in the article by former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. As we witness the decline of biblical Christianity, as we witness the falling away of Christians, the apostasy, and we witness the closing of churches across America, we're witnessing the decline of truth, the death of truth, because the source of truth is the Word of God. In fact, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. That's my position. That's my call. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right in the heart of Mandarin, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me set the stage. We have devolved to the point and place and position, morally, ethically, theologically, doctrinally, biblically, in our nation, that we're witnessing now. And I don't know if you've noticed it. I've noticed it on television, on the internet, on radio, that it seems, ladies and gentlemen, that it seems as though FCC no longer has rules and regulations about the words that are used. You hear curse words by the news personalities and the guests that they're interviewing. Words that you would have never heard on television, radio, or online by a news media or their guests they're interviewing. sometimes, occasionally, in the past years, you'd hear one saying something and a word would slip. And that's, oh, I'm sorry, shouldn't have said that. You don't find that today. The mindset is today, it's gutter language, profanity, words that all parents and their kids should reject in hearing. Garbage language, vile communication that just a few years ago was not allowed by the FCC. And today it seems that there's no rules, no regulations, no guidelines, no controls on television, anchors, news media. Some of the conversation, ladies and gentlemen, sound like a drunken sailor and the communication that's having. Parents are listening. Kids are listening. Young people are listening. That seems to be okay from the perspective of the socialist Marxist media and the Communist Democratic Party. Seems to be all right. But just to hear, just to have the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, pray in the name of King Jesus, and all of a sudden, the world's coming to an end. There's something wrong with that picture. When Pete Hegseth prays at the Pentagon, he's formulating and setting up volunteer prayer services at the Pentagon. Nobody was forced to be there. All of the military people that were there, some in business dress and others in uniform, and the Secretary of Defense stood, challenged them, and then prayed in the name of King Jesus. I'm looking at a headline. Hegseth slams critics of Christian prayer service he launched. Hegseth defended his decision to lead a 30-minute prayer service at the Pentagon, telling reporters that the events will be a monthly volunteer function at the Department of Defense. Quote, I've gotten some criticism for the Christian prayer service at the Pentagon yesterday. We said it very publicly. We said it very loudly. Hegseth told reporters, appealing to heaven, appealing to God, is a long-standing tradition in our military. I'm very proud of starting a monthly prayer service at the Pentagon. Hegseth said, we appeal to God. I appeal to Jesus Christ for the protection to speak that word and to open and willingly talk about the Pentagon and what is happening and asking King Jesus to give guidance. Now, we'll talk about that a great deal more. What we're seeing with that, what we're seeing with the opposite view of that, what is taking place that opposes that, and why as Christians and conservatives and patriots we should be concerned with what we see happening. Yes, we're talking about Christian persecution and the prosecution of those that believe in and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps and I are going to be, as old cliche would go, we'll be jawboning about this today, talking about Pete Hegseth and his praying in Jesus' name and the purpose of that prayer meeting and what they're doing. So my question is, what did Pete Hegseth say that was so vile, that was so vulgar, that he was threatened be removed from his position? Did he threaten to kill the president? Or some, as some recently did. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in a recent parade celebrating Memorial Day, I'll read the article a little later in the broadcast, but there were those carrying mock heads of President Trump in their hands, and the whole crowd, as they marched down the street and parade, in unison chanting, kill Trump, kill Trump, kill Trump. Do you hear anything from the Marxist media saying that was bad? Do you hear anything from the Socialist Marxist Communist Party called the Democrats in some way condemning those statements? Do we see anybody from the Secret Service or from the FBI or from the DOJ or the CIA going to seek those people down and charge them with an open threat to the life of the President of the United States of America? I see none of that. And yet Pete Hegseth, simply pray in Jesus' name, you would think the world is coming to an end. Dr. Phelps, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining me in this discussion today. In your position, in your opinion, What did Pete Hegseth do wrong? Should he have not prayed in Jesus' name? Should the Secretary of Education simply ignored who's praying to? Who should he have prayed to? Why? Just share with our listeners your thoughts on that event and what should be done and how it should be handled.
My first response to that question that you just asked would be, well, what if he had prayed in the name of Buddha? Mm-hmm. What reaction would there have been? Mm-hmm. What if he'd prayed in the name of Allah or some other false god?
That's right.
And so when we pray as Christians, we pray in the name of Jesus, the only name by which we have salvation, mm-hmm. the only name by which we have access to the throne of God.
Yes, absolutely.
That's why I think he did what was right. It would have been unsensible or nonsensical for someone to pray in any other name than Jesus. I read in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, that God has highly exalted his Son at his right hand, and he set him in the place of honor, and that's the name by which Christians can pray and benefit and have the blessings of God upon our country.
Absolutely. And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm thankful that we have. Listen, I've heard all kinds of stuff. You could have complaints about Donald Trump. You could have complaints about each one of his cabinet heads, about some sin, some difficulty, some garbage in the background. Look at King David in the scripture. He committed adultery. He committed murder. And look how God used him, because he was surrendered to God and God's purpose. And so I say today, we need to recognize what is taking place. There's a tectonic change that's taking place in D.C. Through the leadership of the one that God divinely intervened and gave us as president, that is President Donald J. Trump, and those that he's appointed to office. And Dr. Phelps, just as you said, if Hegseth had prayed to Allah or Buddha or any other false god, there would not have been any complaint whatsoever, none whatsoever. If he had said things in vile, vulgar, filthy communication, there would have been nothing said from the socialist Marxist media or the left. But because he is an open, professing Christian, and because he takes the stand that the only name you can pray to and through is the Lord Jesus Christ. So if a person, let's just speak to the audience today. If a Christian listening thinks that as they pray, that somehow, some way, if it is public, you need to leave the name of Jesus out. If you're not praying in the name of Jesus and through him to God the Father, is there a result? What would be the result to that prayer? Would it appeal to the right ears? Would it be worthless, useless, or futile?
Well, perhaps it would be useless, just a waste of time.
Right.
One of the things that I understand in the matter of prayer is that we're praying in the name of Jesus, of whom the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
We will either acknowledge him as Lord now, or we will one day when we stand in judgment at the great white throne judgment. When the lost stand before God, there will be no excuse. Mm-hmm. That they have ignored God's Son. They have ignored God's grace and mercy that he has shown through his Son. And they will have a destiny that they'll not like.
That's right. I'd rather bend the bow and bend the knee today,
yes, sir,
to Jesus as Lord, than to do so when it is futile and a failure in doing so. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, gentlemen. I want to say this. I tell you, they said this is democracy. It's not. It's a republic, and that is true. Number one, every democracy, think about Hitler, Mussolini, what is his name? I call him the smallest man in the world, Napoleon. They came out of democracy, democracy systems. We have a republic, and they're always saying that we have, I call it demonized society right now. And they are just tearing America up. Talking about Trump is going to destroy our democracy. We are not a democracy. We are a republic.
Kenneth, you're exactly right. It's a constitutional republic, not a democracy. We are, however, devolving into democracy. A democracy is where mob rules, not by constitutional republic with a representative form of government, but where mob rules. And we're witnessing today more and more of the mob rule. And we're witnessing, Kenneth, today a greater and greater listen, as we're seeing God using Trump and his cabinet members to bring about morals and ethics and values and to respect Christians and conservatives and patriots in America. We're finding Satan, if you please, speeding up the process of seeking whom he may devour, and it's through the process of trying to tear down and destroy Christians. I'm looking at a headline, Kenneth. I'll read this and get your take on it.
Yes.
Radical Seattle mayor smears Christians after leftists physically attack prayer rally attendees. Democratic Mayor Bruce Harrell characterized the public expression of Christian views. This is public praying now, Christian views. He says, bigotry and injustice, end quote. Pro-life Christians held a prayer event at Cal Anderson Park in Seattle, Washington, over the weekend. But the viewpoint expressed at the May Day USA event in support of the sanctity of life, the sanctity of biological gender, the importance of the nuclear family, and the right to freedom of speech and religion, proved intolerable not only to the leftist radicals, whose violent response prompted police to shut down the event early, but also the city's Democratic mayor, who subsequently smeared the Christian organizations and called all Christians bigots, end quote. Further, the article reads, today's far-right rally was held here for the very reason to provoke a reaction by promoting beliefs that are inherently opposed to our city's values, the mayor said. In the heart of Seattle's most prominent LGBTQ sodomite agenda, I'm calling it sodomite, the article didn't read that way, said the LGBTQ plus agenda. So, Kenneth, what I'm trying to get our listeners to understand, it's not just Pete Hegseth. It's not just his prayer to in Jesus' name. It's not just his willingness to have a prayer meeting. But it also is the fact that across the nation, what I call the blue cities, the blue states, the socialist, Marxist, communist media, and the left called the Democratic Party are against anything that's called Christians and Christians visualizing and voicing their support and stand for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Dr. Phelps, what do you say?
Well, one of the things that I believe that we should be aware of and be prayerful about is that we're living in an anti-Christian era.
Yes.
We see that many are anti-Christ, against Christ. There is a hatred. There is a hatred toward Christ, toward Christians, toward the Bible, toward Israel, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic movements.
Yes.
All of this is taking place in our day because I believe that is the mentality, demonic mentality that is going to prevail and continue to do so, especially when the Christians are raptured out of this world, what we call the tribulation begins to bring like hell on earth.
Yes, absolutely. Dr. Phelps, you're exactly right. Yes. Kenneth, we're thankful for your call. Thank you so much. Our time is about out for this half hour.
One more question?
Very quickly, yes.
Yes, sir. Look, if people cannot wake up and see that Satan is over, and think about our young people in the universities and colleges. If we don't wake up and see, especially anti-Semitism, we are doomed to fail because we came on Christianity. This country was founded. And it's sad the way these young people are going.
Absolutely, and we will be discussing it. Kenneth will be discussing that very issue mainly on tomorrow's broadcast about the anti-Semitic view, what's taking place, and what that connotes and where we're headed as a nation. But Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. We're thankful for you, and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. I believe Dr. Davis is on the line. Dr. Davis, go ahead and give the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much. Amen. You know, I think it's high time for Christians, and especially the leaders in the churches, Dr. Youngblood, to get a backbone.
Mm-hmm.
When we consider all the things that we went through in the past 4 years, the evisceration of our rights and how they commanded us not to open the churches, and how you can't even, if you do go out there, you can't even open your mouth to sing. Now that we have a reprieve, now that God has given us a second chance, we need to take every advantage of this opportunity to let them know about this great God that we serve and that he's still yet in control. When I go to the book of Isaiah, and I was reading through that some time ago, and when I went to chapter 8, starting at verse 12 through verse 14, Isaiah 8, 12 through 14, God warned the Israelites not to make a confederacy with the people of the day that were trying to oppress Israel. And he told them in verse number 13, he said, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. So in other words, we should fear God and keep his commandments and not worry about what they're telling us about not calling upon the name of Jesus, not mentioning his name when it comes down to prayer. Because even when you go to St. John chapter 5, verses 21 through 23, it says, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the hand of the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. So what is that telling us? Jesus Christ is the one to whom we should be giving all the honor, because all judgment is going to be given into his hand. So if you don't want to recognize him, you certainly better be careful, because one day you will have to stand before that very one that you don't want to honor.
Amen. Dr. Davis, you're spot on, exactly right with that statement. One of the things we're finding today is a greater and greater evidence of the rejection of who Jesus Christ is. And when the name of Jesus is used in a prayer, especially in a public arena, especially in a governmental setting, there's the mindset somehow, some way, you have violated the separation of church and state. That's what we're hearing. That's the lie that's being told, and multitudes of Christians believe that. Dr. Davis, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our conversation in a moment, but let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm looking at an article that is by ACLJ with Jay Sekulow. It says, preachers are being jailed, churches are being shut down, and it's happening in American cities from Chicago to L.A. As shocking as it sounds, the war on Christian faith is spreading more rapidly today than any time before. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL St. Augustine, and